Good evening, everyone. Good evening. You've tuned into Radiance by Design. Are you radiating? This is Veronica Entwistle, and this week we want to talk again about love. You had a lot of calls last week, and I enjoyed them very much. And the reason we want to talk about love is that there's so much buildup of, well, first of all, we all toss it around, oh my gosh, I love tiramisu, oh my gosh, I love whatever, blue jeans, oh my gosh, I love my partner. And it's actually a strange word because they keep talking about how it's the glue. It's the thing that keeps us all together. And the other thing that we keep hearing about and talking about lately, and there are going to be some interviews on this over the next little while, is oneness. We're all one. And it's like everything is an illusion. Some of those things I understand perfectly, but there are moments in my life where I haven't a clue what that means. We're all one and everything's an illusion because sometimes I'm knee-deep in the third dimension. I'll bet you are, too. We're worried about jobs, bills, rent, people, relationships, doodly-doo, gardens, pick a thing, you know. And it's all an illusion, but I still have to water the garden, right, and get the worms to move along and so on. Anyway, what is love? And if love is the glue of the whole thing, as we grow and change, and that's what we're doing on BBS Radio and so many of the shows, and on Radiance by Design, and on Paradigm Shifters, and on ET Healing, we're all growing, and we're all learning from one another about what it takes to grow, what it is we need to do to grow, and I think learning, my guides have been talking to me about this as well, but I think learning how to tap that incredible flow of love, or that incredible sparky glue, or that wonderful cohesive oneness tool that we can all share. And we have to find out how to access that in ourselves, and what does it really mean, and how many layers can you go through to really tap that kind of endless flow that's universal and belongs to us all. Last week we had many, many calls, and I loved that. One of the calls was from a woman who asked about how do you generate love when you're older and your hair's gray and you're not included in certain gatherings, social gatherings. People, and this is true because I'm 100 years old, I always tell you that. It is quite true that if you're older and you're in a group of rambunctious young people, they tend to totally ignore you. But the question that she had embedded in her heart and soul when she was asking about it is, how do I generate and feel the reality of that love when there's so much isolation and ostracization? So I asked tonight, I was channeling just before the show, and I asked my guides what, you know, to talk about that. And what they're basically saying is, and this is something you and I can both do, and all of us can do, and maybe tap into more of that community-loving oneness that we should have access to. They talked about how if you're in an experience, like right now, of being consciously structured by a question, by resistance, by frustration, by anything, you know, you've got something holding back, you're saying, okay, where's the love? How do I feel it? Then you drop in, feel the resistance or the situation, whatever it is. Drop into your little body. Okay, just drop in. And then let yourself go under it. Flow right in through the resistance. Flow right in. Way inside. Until you've moved past all of this third dimensional construction stuff. All the construction sites of our many lives, right? Let's just drop way in. And when you feel like you've gotten way in there, let's ask to feel the love. Just feel it. And remember, it's a cohesive element for the entire universe. So all of us share it, and it keeps us all one. It keeps us all connected. And you drop in past all of the constructions of your many lifetimes until you move into that place that's free of all that. What do you feel in there? first thing we're going to do is our meditation. I'll tell you, I immediately start feeling really buzzy and deep and peaceful. And what do you feel? So let's close our eyes and do our meditation together. And then at the end, I'd love you to call in. Oh, also at 7:30, Deb O'Connor is going to call in. And interestingly enough, she's going to talk about the full moon coming up on Sunday, and it's in Pisces, which is often the sign in which the senses and the heart, all of those, really open and feel the existence of everything that is. You know, Pisces is kind of famous for that. So it's kind of appropriate we're talking about love, and that was wonderful to talk to her and find out she is going to join us tonight. She's been on the road. It's been harder for her to do that. All right, let's become a community, a cohesive, loving, supportive community by sharing our time of meditation together. Close your eyes unless you're on a unicycle. All right, take a deep breath or a couple of them. And above your head, a golden ball, perhaps 2 miles above your head. And below your spine, about 40 feet, another golden ball. And drop a filament of light, again, gold color, because gold is a very high frequency, isn't it? And the high frequencies can move us out of what we were calling the structures of our, or the constructions of our many lifetimes in the form of reactions, right? So we're using a gold filament, running it from the upper golden ball down through the spine into the lower golden ball. And now drop a four-sided pyramid from the upper golden ball to about waist height, maybe 40 to 60 feet out there. Don't have to get out your measuring tape. Use your imagination. And then upside down, another golden pyramid, and that one points into the lower golden ball. And the pyramids meet base to base. So you now have an eight-sided structure. Can you feel it? I can really feel the energy when we do that. And now inside of our octahedron, our eight-sided structure, there's a crystal ball. And feel the crystal ball and see its colors. I see them as shimmering, full spectrum of colors, shimmering and kind of hazy and very beautiful. And inside of that, there you are in a star tetrahedron, which is the three-dimensional Star of David. And you're in that. And now feel your three-dimensional Star of David spinning and spinning and spinning. And as you do, see in front of you a magical screen. And as you spin and spin and spin, you're going to create little movies on your screen. The first movie is about what you want to become. And I always tell you I want to be multidimensional. Right? Consciously multidimensional at any given time. Now, maybe you don't want to be, and that's okay, because I'm not the only one that has an answer here. I don't have all the answers. I just have my own visions and yours, too. You've got yours, right? So whatever it is you want to become, see, feel yourself, explore yourself, becoming that. And when you do, when I see myself being multidimensional and being able to do that at will, I smile and then wrap that scenario in light, and I move to the next part of the screen in which I create a project I want to create. And all of you have projects, big ones and small ones and big ones. Maybe your project is home and family, relationship, household, maybe it's a job, a business, a book, a movie, it doesn't matter. What is it you want to create? Now see and feel all the resources coming, all the pieces coming together for you to create your project. The people, the money, the setting, all the details. And just see your project coming along really well. And then see it kind of coming to fruition. It's successful, and you did it! And so to sustain it, see all the resources coming together to fuel it, to keep it built, to keep it functioning, to keep it viable, making enough money if that's part of it. growing, changing, meeting the demands of our society. Oh, and you're so pleased. Wrap that in light. And move that over to the side. And now we're going to bring in the Galactic Healing Center. And this is a very wonderful healing center. It works really well for all kinds of situations. And the Galactic Healing Center, you see a team standing around a healing table, a beautiful, clean healing table. And your team is just a lovely, lovely group of beings. What do they look like? What do they feel like? And the first person to come into your healing center and lie on the table is you, or me in this case. So you plop down on the table and either ask them, the team, for what it is you need and want, or they'll tell you what it is they're going to help you with right now. Good. And then watch what they do to help you achieve this or to help you heal into this. They're giving me a kind of a lecture. Sometimes you got to listen carefully, maybe jot a few notes from what they say. And those of you who think you can't hear anything, you can. You'll know something from this. You might know it in your body, or you might know it in your mind, or whatever. Okay. All right. And then you thank them and feel the love. Talk about love. Feel the love of that team. Okay, now wrap that in light so it can keep going. And now we're going to bring in someone else who's got a fresh table. The team can replicate themselves. So who are you bringing in at this point? I'm bringing in my dad, who I always talk about. He's been going through life and death choice time. He seems to be recovering at this point, but we're going to see him in here with the team around him, working with him for his highest good. Now, who are you bringing in? And see if they can tell you what that person would do better. See, healing is a funny thing. Healing isn't always about living, getting better on the physical. Healing is about, to me anyway, it's about kind of fulfilling something deep within your soul's journey. Or not, but that's how I perceive it. That's it. And so as far as my dad goes, there's working with him, again, in the belly and in the head. Most weeks when you listen to this, you hear me saying in the belly and the head, they're pulling things out. Well, the belly houses the subconscious, and the brain is such a computer that's programmed with all kinds of thoughts and feelings. Yeah. And then I watch as they work on him, and one of the things they're working on is him to find peace about something. I can see that. They're trying to unhook, help him unhook some of the questions that he hasn't answered yet. I don't need to know what they are. They're working with him. And now we feel like they're actually working with him, and you can feel the energy flows moving. Wrap that in light and move it to the side. And then remember, the team will replicate itself around a new table, a fresh table. Who do you want to bring in this time? Okay. I'm bringing in an older lady. I don't think I know this lady at all. She has a lot of grief, and she's feeling kind of stymied. We talk about love, and she's appropriate because as she gets older and older, she seems like she's quite heavy, and as she gets older and older, she has a kind of a defense around her. She feels that she needs to protect herself more and more. And there are people around her who want to love her, but she won't let it go because she's been hurt in her life. So she's doing something that a lot of people do. This is a real danger. I'm asking the guides and angels to bring in higher and higher realms as well so that we have a multi-level consciousness force coming to this wonderful soul. Now, I notice as they talk about her and show me her defense against love, she's trying to protect herself and feel safe so people who love her can't get near. And I notice she has a lot of pain in her belly, right and left side. probably in the ovaries, although one of her ovaries has been taken out, I think. Either that or totally inactive. And so they're moving the energy through her belly because it's a subconscious programming. You and I know that as you go through experiences in life, you make choices afterwards about whether to be embittered, whether to step forward as a result, whether to hide as a result. You know, we've all been through a number of things. And this lady is going to have a very difficult senior section of her life if she doesn't let them or let someone help her extricate herself from a reactive force. Talk about reaction. She's not feeling the love. So the guides and angels, the team, are absolutely loving her. And I'm seeing a beautiful softness running through her body. Yeah, that's really interesting. There you go. And as I see her begin to relax and I see them being able to touch that core of her, which is a very pleasant, beloved core, then I'm going to move that to the right there. And now we're going to bring in a political situation. People keep saying America's coming undone, America's coming undone. So let's bring in the whole economic debt situation. Is that what we want to do? And now let's bring also ask our team to have call in their layers and layers, their backup of higher and higher frequencies of consciousness that roam throughout the universe. That's it. And let's see them having an impact on our political situation and the mainstays of the economic world. Yeah. And we're seeing that. Funny, what I'm seeing is Obama almost with his hands tied. It's funny, I didn't expect to see this at all. So I see our president with his hands kind of tied and these heavy-duty influences coming at him. Really heavy duty. And the beings that are coming at him are wanting to control how the monies are going and who uses what for what. And so I think what we want to do is, first of all, absolutely pour energy into this situation, into all the beings involved, and remember that love is the glue. And in this kind of situation, it's resistance, dominance, and all of these other things which aren't exactly love. So we're just going to pour some love into the picture. And then let's do our trick of calling in above your head, calling in from the universe, this amazing harmonizing light. Call it in. It's kind of a salmony pink with lots of gold in it. And it comes in through the top of the head, and it comes out through the heart, then the arms. And send that light into President and just see him bathed inside and out in this pink light. And then these other beings who are in charge of various aspects of influence on the financial world that are out controlling him. And let's just fill them with this light of harmony and of love and of rejoicing in the human spirit. And good, and wrap the whole government in that light and have it touch like Tinkerbell did with her little wand. Remember, ding! Have it touch all the members of the government and all the people that are hugely involved in the global economic situation. Yeah, just have them all be flooded with this light. You can do it. We've all got the ability to do it. And then have some of it come into ourselves as well, because we ourselves need to feel the harmony of moving the monies in a way that's equitable for all people or all life. Now send some of that light to various parts of the world where there's strife, there's illness, there's poverty, there's toxicity. Yeah. Just keep bathing various parts of your planet with this wonderful, healing, harmonizing light until the whole entire thing is covered in light. I always think that then the ETs or the extraterrestrial or the spirit beings can all feel and see that we're becoming more and more of a conscious species in a collective level. Remember, love is the glue. Let's radiate the love and have that light move round and round and round our planet and then come back and come right into your hands and into your arms and into your heart and have it swish through your entire body. So you feel safe to be loving, move up through to the top of your head, and shoot back out into the great central sun. Now go back in and close off your galactic healing center. And jump into your star tetrahedron, zoop, and spin and spin and spin. And then I want you to call me, talk to me. Let's find out what's going on with you. Do you feel loved? Is it easy for you to give love? Did you notice anything when we did that little exercise where you drop way in under all these constructions of reaction and personality and identity that you gathered over many lifetimes? Did you feel that? Could you feel that peace and that wonderful energy that's way underneath it? I sure could tonight. And that's because we're all in community, so other ones of you felt it as well. So call in 888-627-6008. Now remember, you're listening to Radiance by Design at 7:30. Deb O'Connor's going to call in and we're going to talk about the up-and-coming full moon and what that's going to do to the energy field. What's going on in your world? What is it you would like to work on tonight? We worked on love last week and it's really just a huge, huge thing, isn't it? Do you feel loved? Do you feel like you can't be loved unless you do something? Because really, love is a funny, kind of an expanding, infinite feeling, which is really, it's really a state of being, isn't it, rather than a state of doing. I do so many sessions, and I really love them. Seriously, I do love them. And I'm telling you, if I'm talking to somebody that if I were out in the town, somebody that I wouldn't particularly care about, when I'm in the middle of a session, without question, I absolutely love them. And I'm so grateful to my guides and angels because they just pour that love through. Everybody feels loved when they're having a session, I think. I haven't heard of anybody who didn't, really. And I notice for me, like I say, it's like training wheels. It's like, I don't know, as a woman, it's hard for me to know when I'm in the normal grind of interactions with people how to maintain that loving presence or how to find the love in myself. If you're defensive or you're resistant or your brain is running around trying to figure out what to do to get the most out of whatever the situation is, you're tending not to be loving. Now, I know a few people who, and I don't think I was like this, but I know a few people who, when they're babies, they're just exuding love. Do you know anybody like that? And as they get older, they might be having all kinds of situations and challenges and dramas that they're going through, but they still radiate love all the time. How many people do you know like that? I know a couple that are close to me, and I won't mention names right now. But it's a very, very important thing to know that we can actually learn to radiate that. So how do we do that? Let's play at it right now. If you're not going to call in, I'll just have to pick on you. Because I'm seeing a couple of people out there. There's a couple of you. I'm looking especially for people who have that kind of light. And I remember years ago learning that the heart chakra is green. But I also learned that it's kind of a fuchsia color. And that has a lot to do with people who already know how to radiate their love. And then one day this woman came for a reading. I didn't know her. Somebody brought her. And she had that. When I looked at her, you know, when I look at all of you, we can look and see what your chakras are like or what your energy flows are like and so on. But hers was kept bursting into this kind of purple fuchsia light to me. And she was the most wonderful woman who was absolutely exuding love. I wasn't sure what to do because her whole approach to life was so undefended. And there's a book that people keep telling me about, too, called The Undefended Heart, and I've got a call out to see if these people will. And Kirtana, who's a wonderful singer, recommended I talk to them, but I'm hoping that these women will come on and talk to us about that. Deb, are you on yet? She's not here. So let me just take a look at a couple of these people that are absolutely radiating love in their hearts. Okay, so I see one woman who has a potential of having an amazingly bright chest area heart chakra. But she's got a big slab of something over it, and I want to see what it is. She's probably in her 40s, and she had some heartache. Now, that's not totally inappropriate, is it? If you have a tendency to be extremely loving, then you're probably on a soul level going to be challenged to really up the ante on that. Because she had a big heartache when she was probably 12 or 13. And what she's developed is this incredible slab of energy in front of her heart. And I'm going, oh my gosh, she's very, very pretty. She's quite lonely, and yet she has one of the most potentially radiant hearts I've ever seen. So I'm looking at her, and I'm saying to each of you, okay, let's everybody try to do this together, and we'll help our friend out of hers as well. Look at your own heart. Close your eyes and look with your inside eyes. And drop down and really feel your chest area. And ask to feel what your love is like in there. Okay, now ask to feel what blocks your heart. What blocks it? Is it defense? Is it fear? Okay, come on, you're all getting some. I'm seeing a really interesting number of defenses sitting up in front of the heart. Because your body likes to be talked to like this. And when
we ask, honey, I'm here.
Hi, honey, how are you?
I'm good. I didn't want to interrupt what you were saying. I just want you to know I was listening here.
Oh, good. Okay, well, I'll just be 1 minute. And then we want to hear all about the moon and you. So let's exaggerate that which is blocking the heart. All of us exaggerate what it is because it looks different with all of you, but everybody's got something. I always think the heart is like a sea anemone in many ways. If you tickle it, it rolls up into a ball. So if you've got a big, soft heart, that doesn't mean it doesn't sort of close off and hide behind your own construction of a protective tool or some kind of bulletproof vest, you know. So let's exaggerate our protection and ask for help. Bring in your guides and angels and let's command total release of that slab right now, because I'll tell you something, if you let that love expand, it becomes your greatest protector of itself. The high frequency energy that radiates out through the heart is going to protect a lot of us from attracting some negative things or defenses. So Deb O'Connor is here, and I'm so glad you've been all over the world, half the world anyway, right?
Just all over the Northwest, I think. Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm really good. And I was thinking when I was listening to you tonight that you have an uncanny way of choosing a theme for your show that resonates with something that's happening astrologically, which is just, you know, whatever the energy is, which happens to be strongest in the universe, you pick up on it, which I think, you know, any of us, when we're really open, we are picking up on what's happening.
We're tuning in, aren't we?
We're tuning it in, yeah. We're just being the great, huge, beautiful portals that we are, as you would say, the great radios that we are, bringing us through. But, you know, in what you were talking about just now, when you're talking about the little sea anemone of the heart, mm-hmm. I've been thinking a lot about this. There's a full moon on Sunday night, and the moon will be in Pisces, and the sun, like it is all month, will be in Virgo. And actually, the full moon is going to be, we say Sunday night, but it'll actually, on the West Coast, it'll be about 3 o'clock in the morning, or somewhere between 2 and 3 in the morning in the West, early Monday morning. But let's just say it's a Sunday night full moon, to make it simple. But I was thinking about Pisces, the moon will be full in Pisces, and the moon is said to be elevated in Pisces. The moon really loves to be in this sign. It's the last sign in the zodiac. It's a water sign, And it's very emotional. It's all the water signs have to do with our emotional core. And this last sign, Pisces, has to do more with the heart of the divine than even the human heart. It Pisces seems to be the energy that wants to bring through the human experience the divine love. And it's a lot of what you've been talking about. And it, you know, and the thing that we always remember with a full moon is that the moon is collecting and receiving the light of the sun. So the sign that the sun is in is also important. And this sun is in Virgo. So this sort of connection between Virgo and Pisces is really interesting to me, because both these signs have to do with serving. Virgo really wants to do humble, service-oriented work for the greater good. And Pisces is more about serving divine love. And that doesn't mean that Pisces and Virgo always manage to pull this off, but, you know, taking the highest note. That would be what they would do if they could do it as beautifully and cleanly and clearly as possible. But the shadow for Pisces is always going to be a little bit of confusion, sometimes a lot of confusion, sometimes some delusion. It's a sign that doesn't really have any boundaries. So sometimes that creates a problem. It's also a sign that's so out of time and space that we can really easily be deluded. And I'm actually leading somewhere with this whole thing I'm talking about. So the shadow for Virgo is just sort of nattering on about things, just sort of blah, 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 pick, 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 pick. You know, sort of picking at the little details of things that really don't always matter so much. So what could be problematic with a full moon in Pisces reflecting Virgo is that we'll lose track, lose sight of what's really important in love, and you know, sort of go after the details of the situation and sort of pick at it. And this moon is a really great opportunity for all of us to look at what love is and the deepest possible expression of it, which would be exactly what you were talking about when you were bringing through. Well, you do it every time you do the meditation, but tonight, you know, you were talking about, when you talked about Obama, bringing through this beautiful pink gold light. That's Pisces, bringing divine love and light through the portal of the human body and then expressing it back out into the world. So, you know, and when we do that, then we can drop away from some of the Virgoian little particulars that sort of needle us and everybody else around us. You know how that is. Sometimes we pick at ourselves so much internally that we turn around then and project those little picky things back out at the people we love the most, when really we just want to open our heart to them. I always think of, when you were talking about the sea urchin of the heart, mm-hmm. when I think about Pisces wanting to come through the body, I always imagine it, the heart, you know, this is sort of an old yoga thing, right? You imagine that there's a string attached to your sternum, and the string is going right up into the heavens. And you imagine that the string is just sort of lifting the sternum up, so that in doing that, the heart has more room. So to just sort of open the chest, give the heart some room to breathe. And the other thing that will happen for everyone who wants to participate is that the dream life will just be absolutely stunning for the next couple of, really the next 4 or 5 days, nights, days, nights. And the thing that we have to do with that is just be careful to remember, Virgo says, you know, this is Virgo working well for us, says, stay grounded when you're bringing this love through. Don't bring so much of it through that all of a sudden you become sort of delusional. Mm-hmm. Pisces has a tendency to sort of give away the heart too excessively. And Virgo says, remember to project yourself a little bit. Be careful. Don't need, you know, just find the balance.
Well, Virgo and Pisces are good together as far as a balancing force, aren't they?
They really are. Anytime there's a full moon, you're always working with two signs that oppose each other in the sky. And the signs that oppose each other in the sky are meant to balance each other. We have to be careful, I think, as astrologers, not to beat up on oppositions, because really oppositions are looking always for some sort of beautiful balance between the two kinds of energies. And they're all, and opposing signs are always working with energy which has a real affinity for the other energy. They, you know, it's just that, like Pisces and Virgo, Pisces is very much about the ethereal, ephemeral, mystical world. And Virgo, and serving that world, and Virgo is very much about the grounded, practical, actual manifested world. It's an earth sign. So Virgo lends Pisces some practicality and groundedness, and Pisces lends to Virgo a way out of the monkey mind, basically, the spin that we get ourselves in, where we're criticizing ourselves and criticizing everyone else, because Virgo can get real critical. Mm-hmm. You know, and on the other hand, Pisces can get kind of spacey and goofy and way out there, so they do create a balance for each other.
Okay.
And then maybe one more thing about this moon is that one of the other shadows of Pisces, because it's such a boundary-free expression of energy, it's infinite in its understanding of space and time, and there's nothing linear or logical about it. But it tends also toward addictions. So when the moon is full in Pisces, we can look at our chart to see which of our houses it happens to be landing in. You know, whichever house in your zodiac you have Pisces settle into is where this full moon is going to, every single fall, there'll be a Pisces full moon settled into this house in your zodiac, and that's the place to look to see where I might be self-deluded sometimes, or where I might be.
But tell me, just a second, I want to interrupt you for a sec. Is that the trend? Is it where it's transiting at this time?
Yeah, it's where it's transiting.
Or is it where it is in my chart?
No, it's where it's transiting. Where is this full moon going to hit in your chart? In other words, where is the Pisces energy in your chart and in your chart? I think in your chart it's in your fifth house.
Oh, good.
Because isn't that where you have Mars and Pisces in your fifth house?
Yep.
Yeah.
But so, I'm thinking about the Pisces in the American constitutional chart. You know where that is transiting at this
point?
Well,
that's actually in the third house. And something else that's really interesting, I don't want to take up all this time if there's somebody trying to call in, so would you let me know?
Callers, just call in, and Deb would be happy to be here with you or not, whichever.
Right, or I can just back away. If you want to call in, please do. But the thing that's interesting with the chart of the United States right now is that in the United States chart, there are a bunch of planets kind of all gathered together in the sign of Cancer. We have our Sun, the United States of America, as our Sun in Cancer. And we have our Venus, which is what we value. And we have our Jupiter. And Jupiter is a planet which has a lot to do with a lot of things. But when you look at it, not so much in a person's chart. So we're not talking about a person's chart here. We're talking about a chart of a collective.
Okay.
And so Jupiter will have to do with the politics and the faith in our ability to do what it is we think we need to do, if it's working well. When Jupiter's not working well, it shows us where we're all puffed up and arrogant and where we are basically charlatans. And Venus wants us to see what we value. And she's merged with Jupiter in our chart. So whenever Venus is getting a transit in the United States chart, so is Jupiter. So she shows us how our values are working well or not so well around Jupiter. So, and Jupiter is a very political, philosophical planet at the same time that it can be. You know, Jupiter enlarges things, and sometimes what it enlarges is ego, arrogance, pomposity, all of that. So what's happening in the sky right now is that the planet Pluto, our friend Pluto, who we talk about all the time on here and everywhere else, which wants to get deeply into the things that are in the dark and sometimes things that are just flat out are dark. Well, Pluto in the sky is opposing the United States, Venus, and Jupiter, showing us basically the total underbelly of our Jupiterian politics, of our collective values. So, and the other thing is that Pluto has slowed right down because it's going to turn around and go direct in a couple days here, in about 4 or 5 days. So, interesting that this full moon in a sign that can be deluded and confused, or can choose to turn everything around and do exactly what you were describing in your meditation and just radiate the love of the divine back out. That full moon is happening almost simultaneous with the turnaround of this retrograde Pluto, which has been retrograde for 5 months and is now turning around. And I think it's the 16th. I didn't look up that date before I called, but it's just right around in there. So, and it's also all coinciding with the 10th anniversary of the bombing of the Twin Trade Towers. So I don't mean that to be fearful in any way, but just to say there's a lot for us to look at in terms of the underbelly of what we value. And certainly, all anybody has to do is turn on the TV and listen to some of the people who are trying to run on the Republican ticket for president to see how Jupiter can go bad. People, one of the things that I've been talking about for a while now, but it's really, really becoming apparent, is how much like, it's almost like we're Alice in Wonderland, only it's not so wonderful. It's you know, all these characters, they are the epitome of doublespeak. They say one thing and they back up on what they said the week before, or maybe when they were governor they had a complete and totally different, it's insane. There's just a lot of insanity out there, and that would be,
well, it's all lobby stuff too, and do it my way, and it's all marketing, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's all, yeah. So Pluto says, here you go, everybody. This is just how, this is what the underbelly of the political life in this country can look like. How, you know, and at the same time, we have the planet Uranus helping us to, a lot of people out there, re-envision, take the collective seriously, do beautiful collective work. I'm not saying that it's all. I think there's a lot of beautiful energy running, too. Anyway, that's the sort of shorthand version of This Begins Full Moon, and if anybody wants the longer version of it, you can get it on my blog this weekend. It's not written yet, and the website is www.lovedogdesign.com, and it's always on Veronica's notes, that website. So,
well, I'm excited about it, because maybe there'll be a really loving feeling permeating all this kind of political stuff. Wouldn't that be great?
Well, when you talked, you know, when you led us through the meditation that you did tonight around Obama and his tied hands, mm-hmm. I could just feel that energy flooding in to him and to, you know, all of us throwing it, moving it into the Congress and then moving it into the houses of state all over the world and moving it just, I just think you're right. We have to remember every day in our meditations to flood the world with that beautiful, beautiful light, and to remember to be specific about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get specific about where we're putting it. Throw it, put it, flood the White House with it. Flood Congress. My God, flood Congress with it.
Yeah, I agree
flood
with you.
Flood the TV
I think
stations with it.
Yeah, all the media.
Flood the news. The so-called news networks, you know.
Yeah.
Flood them, anyway.
Or Beyond Ananda says, the old network, right?
Yeah, the old network. It's so funny, too, the word network, relative to what we're experiencing in this consciousness shift, because it is a shift in the networks. And I think Pluto is helping us to see just how completely dark things can be. It's almost like, it is like a fable. It is like Alice in Wonderland. It's so extremely awful. It's so extremely crazy.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, the Mad Hatter's
that you almost. Yeah, the Mad Hatter is afoot, and he's taking on several, you know, lots of different personas right now.
And he was only nutty because of. Mm-hmm. He was only crazy because of the toxicity of the time, which is relevant too.
Yeah.
There's one other thing we wanted to talk about, which was when we're talking about love and community and doing all kinds of things, many, many people are wanting to grow, but it seems pretty common that people judge one another when they're growing, when they're revealing fragilities or revealing what might be called negative feelings about some trap
mm-hmm.
they're in or something they're changing. We talked mm-hmm. about that earlier, and I think that's a really important subject when it comes to love.
I do, too.
Yeah. And
isn't that the Virgo piece, too? It's like picking
yeah.
and, you know, criticizing and picking at something that instead could just be completely embraced in love. And I think acceptance is one of the greatest teachings and gifts of Pisces is for all of us to accept not only where we are in time and place and space, but to accept where everybody else is and just let the flow happen. That's the higher note for Pisces. Things are flowing. Things aren't really even linear. We just think they're linear.
Yes.
It, you know, for Virgo, they're very, very linear and specific. And in a human embodiment, we sure need that.
We sure do. And we have a caller, Deb, so let's find out what she has to say. Good evening. Yeah. You're on the air. Join us.
Hi. Hi, Veronica. It's Beth.
Hi, Beth. How you doing?
I have a question for Deb.
Good.
Deb, how do I figure out where my house is? Because you're like,
how
it
you
all depends
out where
the way Pluto.
If you Beth, if you had your chart read, do you have a copy of your chart somewhere?
I don't. I mean, I've had it read years ago, and I don't remember like where.
You'll have to have your chart read by somebody. You need to get a copy of your chart. And one of the reasons I say where the house when I write my column and I send it out to my clients and anybody else who wants it, I always say the degree and the sign just so that people who have their charts can go to them and see where the sign of Pisces is, because you can see the little signs on the houses. So the only real way for you to get this is to, you know, get your chart read. Get a chart.
Okay.
But, you know, you can...
I guess I have to do that then again.
Do you remember from having your chart read what your rising sign is?
I believe that it was Leo.
So where you probably have Pisces then is in either the 7th or the 8th house. Because Leo would be over at the beginning of your first house. Straight across from it, the chart would be Aquarius. And then the next sign up would be Pisces. So it's probably partially in your 7th and 8th houses. So for you, if you have Leo rising, then I would think this full moon will have a lot to do with your relationships, your friendships, and your love ships. Both. The 7th house is all about the real intimate, trusted friendships that you have, and the 8th house is more the people you want to sleep with.
that's great.
So the whole thing about you, Pisces, is really hitting you right in the hardcore all the time, all your life.
But she better not be picky or be full of illusions. She has to show her love in a strong way.
Really good. This full moon is so good at showing us where we're deluded.
So funny. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because that's what I wanted to find out. Yeah, I guess I'm love delusional. I have to be very honest with my love.
Well, don't be afraid of the shadow, but take a look at it. Right, Deb?
Yeah, absolutely. It's such a beautiful teaching tool. It's sort of like one of those. I always feel like the full moons are a great chance for like an aha moment, because you know how we talk about this all the time, Beth. Awareness is everything. Once we're aware of something, Virgo wants to beat us up. So the Virgo voice in all of our heads will say, "Oh my God, I blah 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 blah. I do that wrong. I always do that wrong. I never get that right." That's the Virgo sun piece of this. The Pisces moon says to us, it's okay. It's like the universe patting you on the head and saying, it's okay. You have Pisces between your 7th and your 8th houses, so you're going to work all your life on watching where you give away a lot of love and where sometimes you have boundary issues around love. And it's not that you're a bad person. It's that you chose this particular piece of the journey to really learn these particular things this lifetime about love.
Yeah. I feel that.
It's also a strength. I mean, it's also a beautiful thing, because with Pisces in those houses, that means that you really have the capacity to open to people with real, pure, rich love, unconditional love, instead of the conditional approach that most humans take toward loving.
But sometimes, for all of us, where we have that kind of thing, you're pushed to learn it and to invigorate it rather than just expect it to be there. Isn't that right, Deb?
Yeah, absolutely. Right.
I have to sign off with you guys.
Opening our heart.
I have to say goodbye because we're going to be hooked off stage. But thanks for your call, Beth. And thank you for your information.
Thank you. Thanks, Deb. Thanks, Veronica. I appreciate
it.
Thanks, Beth.
Good night.
Bye-bye. Good night,
and thank you so much, Miss Deb. I really enjoyed that. And so lovedogdesign.com. Get hold of Deb and read her blog. And thank you so much for the moon.
Thank you. And I can't wait to hear the next show with you and Jackie.
Yeah, that's it. So stay tuned. So this is Veronica Entwistle saying thank you so much for listening, and stay tuned at the top of the hour for Jackie Salvitti and her wonderful team on ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. I have guests coming up, but I'm not really sure who's coming when, but I have a woman, Tammy Kent, who's written a book on the feminine, using the body as your temple, and learning how to maximize the metaphors in the feminine body so that you can become more powerful as a woman. And as you and I know, the feminine is rising and kind of taking its place and balancing out with the patriarchy in our world right now. So I think it's going to be a very good show. I've also got calls out for people who are big teachers in the oneness movement, you know, the Diksha movement and oneness blessings. So stay tuned so that you'll hear about Paradigm Shifters, which comes up on Tuesday nights at 8 o'clock, and meet some amazing people. Thank you for your feedback on the Galexa show last week. I really appreciate the number of people that have given me some information on what they got from it. And my name is Veronica Entwistle, as I said. And so if you'd like to email me, Veronica at VeronicaEntwistle.com, no H in Entwistle, Veronica at VeronicaEntwistle.com. I'd love to have suggestions for guests for Paradigm Shifters, feedback on Radiance by Design and on your life, maybe messages for Deb, although you have her website as well, and suggestions for other guests, or if you'd like a session with me, Veronica at VeronicaEntwistle.com. So stay tuned for Jackie Salvitti and ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness at the top of the hour. Take a deep breath and breathe out and send blessings to everyone in the Radiance by Design community. Much love.
This is the town center, it's just like hell. I got big issues and stories to tell. What language are you speaking? Where are you from? I'm from the train station, I'm lost in translation. I'm not attention seeking. That's my bloody job. Man, I got big issues. Yes, I've got a lot. You can find me in the town center. This place is just like hell. I got big issues, stories to tell. You can find me in the town center if you have the guts. You I was heading for some new lands. Now I'm standing in the mall. I think I'll make a few friends by the end of fall. Jeez, they call it autumn. Whenever I surrender, it will feel like, it will feel just like another dead November in the town center. This place is just like a